You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science Magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, at 1 minute, young humpback whale freed from a death trap in Alaska. At 5 minutes, 5 seconds, after 53 years, the FAA wants to bring back civilian supersonic flight. And finally, at 8 minutes, 32 seconds, a healthy diet may still make a difference for people at higher risk of dementia. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Environment, Animals, Wildlife, Whales section and is entitled, Young Humpback Whale Freed from a Death Trap in Alaska. Written by Sarah Hashemi. Published July 3, 2026. The whale was entangled in crab pot lines at Endicott Arm near Juneau. This article begins with a photo. Three scientists in an inflatable boat approach a whale that is tangled in fishing line. The whale's dorsal fin can be seen just above the water's surface. Its caption reads, The NOAA Fisheries Response Team uses poles with specialized knives to cut entangling lines. A juvenile humpback whale entangled in the opening to Alaska's Endicott Arm was successfully freed after a multi-agency rescue mission. Endicott Arm is a narrow fjord located about 50 miles southeast of Juneau. While remote, it's a major destination for cruise ships and commercial fishing vessels that can be a risk to whales and other marine wildlife. According to a statement from NOAA, on June 24, several mariners noticed the entangled juvenile whale on the evening of May 10 and reported the sighting to the NOAA Fisheries Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network 24-hour hotline. The whale was caught in lines from two commercial Tanner crab pots. Since each pot weighs around 800 pounds, they essentially acted as anchors on the animal, making it unable to move. The mariner's alert allowed regional coordinators to develop their response plan in a timely manner. Quote, We formed a network of eyes on the water, vessel crews coordinating real-time updates between one another and relaying them to us, unquote, said NOAA Fisheries Marine Mammal Specialist Susie Tierlink in a statement. Quote, That communication was critical. It gave us insight into the nature of the entanglement, helped us build a safe response plan, and gave us confidence that we could relocate the whale, unquote. A response team made up of biologists from NOAA Fisheries, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Marine Mammal Program, and local partners from Alaska Sea to Shore mobilized the very next day. They worked over 5 hours to make 4 precise cuts that freed the whale from the pots and most of the entangling lines. Quote, Cutting gear off an animal of this size can be dangerous, unquote, said John Moran, a NOAA research fisheries biologist and advanced responder on the team. Quote, We use long poles fitted with specialized knives to extend our reach. That allows us to cut lines while reducing the risk of being injured by a 40-ton animal, unquote. The responders are hopeful the remaining lines will eventually fall off the whale. Entanglements are a major problem in Alaska. Since 1998, there have been more than 140 confirmed reports of entangled large whales. That number is likely far greater since many entanglements go unreported. Unable to move, the animals can drown or starve, develop life-threatening infections, and may be hit by vessels. Quote, We are incredibly grateful to the Whale Watch community and everyone who reported this entangled whale to the NOAA Fisheries Hotline, unquote, said Sadie Wright, Large Whale Entanglement Response Coordinator for the NOAA Fisheries Alaska Region. Quote, The details provided by the public enabled our response team to prepare and execute a safe response to this life-threatening entanglement, leading to a successful outcome, unquote. This next article is from the Technology Aviation section and is entitled, After 53 Years, the FAA Wants to Bring Back Civilian Supersonic Flight, written by Andrew Paul, published July 1, 2026. The first in a series of new rule proposals will establish sonic boom regulations. This article begins with a photo, X-59 supersonic plane flying. Its caption reads, NASA publicly unveiled its X-59 supersonic aircraft in 2025. For the first time in over half a century, the United States government is clearing the way for a new generation of ultra-fast aircraft to take to the skies. A ban on continental supersonic flight has been in place since the 1970s to ensure nobody endures the noisy sonic booms left in their wake. Aeronautic engineering has come a long way since then, however, and the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, knows it. According to a new FAA rule proposal, revised noise-based certification standards for supersonic aircraft will ensure any upcoming plane's sonic boom over pressure doesn't exceed 0.11 pounds per square foot. Basically, supersonic civilian travel would sound more like a car door slamming than an explosive gun blast to anyone at ground level. Quote, We can ultimately repeal the ban from the 1970s on supersonic flight over U.S. territory while minimizing noise impacts to residents in communities along the route and near airports, unquote, FAA Administrator Brian Bedford said in an accompanying statement. Although domestic supersonic flight never became a major form of travel, the U.S. military once routinely conducted aircraft tests near residential areas. The resultant sonic boom shockwaves frequently shattered windows, cracked building walls, and unnerved citizens within earshot. After sustained pushback, the government banned continental supersonic aircraft outside of remote designated areas in 1973. Between the damaging shockwaves and multiple deadly Concorde aircraft crashes, the supersonic aviation industry's image remained tarnished for decades. But that hasn't stopped private companies and the government from pursuing multiple projects focused on improving safety and dampening the noise. Last year, NASA finally confirmed its long-rumored X-59 experimental airplane that produces more of a sonic thump than of a sonic boom. Meanwhile, private companies like Dawn Aerospace and Boom are developing their own commercial supersonic aircraft. In addition to this week's rule proposal, the FAA said it intends to introduce another proposal later this year intended to codify supersonic plane takeoff and landing noise standards. The return of ultra-fast air travel may still be a few years away, but the FAA's support will ensure it happens sooner than later. This final article is from the health section and is entitled, A Healthy Diet May Still Make a Difference for People at Higher Risk of Dementia, written by Anya Merhar and Adrian Carballo-Casla, published June 29, 2026. The finding also has an important caveat. This article was originally featured on The Conversation. This article begins with a photo. Food products representing the nutritarian diet, which can improve overall health status. Brain changes that can eventually lead to dementia may begin many years before anyone notices symptoms such as memory problems, missed appointments, or difficulty finding words. This is where blood biomarkers are becoming important. Biomarkers are measurable signs of biological activity in the body. In dementia research, some blood biomarkers can give clues about biological processes related to brain changes. These can include Alzheimer's-related protein alterations, damage to nerve cells or changes in cells that support and protect nerve cells. But these cannot predict with certainty whether an individual will develop dementia. Higher levels may suggest increased risk, but Some people with biological signs never develop dementia, while others do. That raises an important question. Once early brain-related changes have begun, can lifestyle still influence dementia risk? Diet and dementia. Our research suggests diet may still be relevant. We followed nearly 1,900 adults aged 60 and older in Sweden for up to 15 years. None had dementia at the start. During that time, 240 developed dementia. Participants' diets were assessed several times. We then looked at whether healthier eating patterns were linked to lower dementia risk among people with different levels of blood markers related to Alzheimer's disease, nerve cell damage, and biological stress in the brain. We found that people with healthier dietary patterns generally had a lower risk of dementia. Importantly, this pattern was also seen among people whose blood markers suggested higher biological risk, including Alzheimer's-related changes. Rather than focusing on single foods or nutrients, we studied overall dietary patterns. This is useful because people eat combinations of foods rather than isolated nutrients. Previous work from our group has also linked diet quality with blood markers related to Alzheimer's disease in cognitively healthy older adults. We examined three ways of describing diet quality: how closely people followed a Mediterranean-style diet, how closely their diet matched general healthy eating guidelines, and how likely their diet was to promote inflammation in the body. This allowed us to ask whether different aspects of diet quality were more relevant for people with different biological profiles. The strongest and most consistent finding among people at higher biological risk involved the inflammatory potential of the diet. Among people with higher levels of these risk-related biomarkers, diets with lower inflammatory potential were associated with up to a 30% lower relative risk of dementia. A relative reduction describes a difference between groups. It cannot tell any individual person whether they will avoid dementia. The finding also has an important caveat. Our study was observational, which means it can show links between diet, biomarkers, and dementia risk, but it cannot prove cause and effect. Still, the results suggest that inflammation may be one pathway through which diet remains relevant, even after disease-related changes have begun. Lower inflammatory diet. A lower inflammatory diet is a broad way of eating rather than a special medical diet. In this kind of research, it generally means eating more foods such as vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, tea and coffee, and fewer foods such as red and processed meat, refined grains, and sugary drinks. Similar work has linked lower dietary inflammatory potential with lower dementia risk in older adults with cardiometabolic diseases, such as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. Why might this affect the brain? Inflammation is part of the body's normal defense system. It helps us respond to infection and injury. The concern is chronic, low-grade inflammation that remains active for years. Scientists are increasingly interested in how this kind of long-term inflammation may contribute to brain aging and dementia. It may affect the brain directly through immune activity around brain cells and indirectly through blood vessels, insulin resistance, and heart health. Other dietary patterns showed a different picture. A Mediterranean-style diet and a healthy diet based on general nutrition guidelines were more strongly linked to lower dementia risk among people with lower biomarker levels. Even so, these diets may still be relevant for people at higher biological risk. The results suggest that different aspects of diet quality may operate in different ways, depending on a person's biological profile. Our study had several strengths. We used repeated information on diet, followed people for many years, identified dementia cases carefully, and compared several dietary patterns in the same group of older adults. There were limitations, too. Diet was measured with questionnaires, which are useful but imperfect. The participants came from one urban area in Sweden and were, on average, relatively healthy and well-educated, so the findings may not apply in the same way to all populations. The message should be modest. A healthy diet cannot erase dementia risk. Age, genes, cardiovascular health, social conditions, and chance all play a part. But our findings suggest that diet may still be relevant for brain health, even when early biological signs linked to higher risk are already present. The next task is to identify which foods and nutrients are driving these associations, so future advice on dementia prevention can become more precise and more useful. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science Magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.